Saturday Night Theatre, we present Game of Chance by Frederick Bradnam, starring Gordon DeLieu as Donald Riddle, Janet Moore as Prudence Hart, and Stephen Thorne as Chief Inspector Gardner. Game of Chance.
Hello? We are here. Brighton Albion, hello? Beatrice of Honolulu is spoken here. How do you do today?
Hello, Beatrice of Honolulu. This is Brighton Albion. Last time we spoke, you told me about yourself. Shall I tell you about myself now?
You tell me, yes, please. Where you live, what you do, etc.
Name, Donald James Riddle. I live in a small house on a hill in a street at Brighton, Sussex, by the sea.
By the sea?
Divorced, live alone. No work now. Made redundant by the firm where I was an accountant. 50 years old. Not going to look for work, but think something will crop up.
Have you got girlfriend living next door, as in stories, Piddle?
Riddle, with an R, not a P.
So sorry.
No regular girlfriend. Next door neighbours are awful old women. Mrs. Puttock, Mrs. Offcut, Mrs. Trigger. They watch everything. Very nosy.
Stick in noses. I understand.
Hello? Beatrice? Can you get me? Hello? 1, 2, 3, 4. Brighton Albion signing off. What's that? Gone midnight. Better get to bed, the rest of the dozy street has. Warm night. Have a breath of garden air first. A world of my own. Who else is in it?
Down there in the street, Prudence. I can see him. There's always one waiting and watching for me, Prue. Waiting to get Jack Kent, Member of Parliament for Hampton West. They'll take me in tonight, perhaps. Tomorrow? Bloody soon, anyway. I'm horribly pissed, old girl, but I know. I'll get 25 years, no remission. You, Miss Prudence Hart, what will they hand down to you?
You said with mitigating circumstances I'll get 10.
10. You'll be near 40 when you get out. 40. I'm 44. I'll be 70 just about. Old man, not blooming likely.
Jack, listen, are you sure they're on to you?
Absolutely. I told you, you've got a tip-off. I know, read all the signs.
Why not have them get you out, Jack? They would. They might even let me come along, too.
No, don't want a terrible life. No, I'm going out with a bang, Prue. Fool them all. Tell me, are you going to come, too?
Yes, Jack. I'll come with you. I couldn't bear to be alone.
Going for a drive, Mr. Riddle?
I am, Mrs. Puttock. The house is like an oven this afternoon.
Where are you going then, as if we didn't know?
To the downs and far away, Mrs. Trigger.
Oh, it'll be blowing up there. It always is.
Oh, how right you are, Mrs. Offcut. Shall I turn the car and run them down? Do so next time. As usual, weekday, no one about. One other car in car park, though. Cooler up here. Higher, the better. Up we go.
Fiat in car park. Badly parked. Why notice that? Can't think. No rain for weeks. Very dry. Gorse and poor little trees. Oaks. Not much grass. Downland, upland. I wonder how the hollow surrounded by scrub came about. My life is so boring, I have to enumerate and describe what I see twice a week. Better than sitting in the rundown office of Flew, White, and Bosch fiddling the accounts. Alone and free, Riddle. What the hell? Shotgun fool shooting rabbits. Dear Lord. Woman crying. Hurt. Oh, clear off. No. Look, see first. Yes, perhaps. Woman with revolver. Beside a man with half his head shot off. No. Mustn't be sick. Take gun from her.
I couldn't. I couldn't. Didn't.
It looks as if you did. Please, let me have the gun.
Take it. I want to die. Must be sick.
Oh. Stink of brandy. What have you done?
Done nothing. Suicide.
But you've drunk brandy. Taken pills in that bottle.
Of course. That suicide packet didn't kill him. He went first. Gun in mouth. Shot dead. I took the gun. Tried to do the same. Couldn't. So sleepy now.
If you sleep, you may well die. Wake. Come on. Wake up.
Gun jammed. Lost my nerve. Silly prunes. Jack did.
Come. Now, walk. Come on. Down to my car. Walk. Left. Right. Left. Right. That's it.
Don't get the police. Far's no good. Get me away somewhere.
Oh, all right. Lucky there's never anyone about up here.
Oh, we knew that. Suicide. Had to have peace and quiet.
Is that your Fiat in the car park?
Hired it. Get out of London. Have to be sick.
Oh, good. Go on.
We're nearly here. Are you awake?
Yes, I feel betterish. Black coffee will help.
Listen, I've nosy neighbours. Have you any dark specks on you?
What? Shades, yes, and a floppy hat in my handbag.
Well, put them on. The less people see your face, the better. See? The three old backs sitting behind their net curtains. In we go, fast as you can, for black coffee. Try to eat a biscuit with it. Good girl. What pills did you take?
Only aspirin. That and the brandy made things unclear.
Still, you're lucky to be alive, though you didn't want to be. I put the revolver in the kitchen table drawer, as if that mattered. Are you feeling really better?
Yes, I can make my mouth work, speak proper. You're very kind. How silly that sounds, but you are. It's been a nightmare. You've been very helpful. I actually put the gun in my mouth. Poor Jack.
Who was Jack?
It's better that you know. He was Jack Kent, an MP. junior minister and under-secretary at the Ministry of Defence.
Oh, I've heard of him. He was one of the Prime Minister's chosen sons, as they called them, wasn't he?
He was. Feel sorry for her now, cow though she is. I'm Prudence Hart. I work at the Parliamentary Library. Jack was my lover. We were in something together. Who are you?
Donald James Riddle. Redundant. Divorced. A nobody. What were you in together?
Secrets. Betrayal. Jack had once been indiscreet, and they held on to him. I acted as his go-between.
I see. He was passing on secrets to a foreign power and was found out, or thought he was.
In a nutshell. He would have been sent down for life. And he would have destroyed half his party, brought down the government. So he decided to do the decent thing, before names were named.
And what about you yourself? Won't they arrest you?
You're not called Jimmy Riddle by any chance?
My friends call me Don or Donald. My parents had no sense of humour.
About me, the government may not do anything. And first they'd have to find his body, and I shall not tell them where it is, or that he's dead. Our security chaps will think he's fled to his foreign friends. His foreign friends will think he's been picked up quietly. And when his body is found, then all hell is let loose.
Listen, to give you time, I could go and bury the body, move the car out of the car park. Up there, the body may not be found for years unless a fox digs it out.
Yes, would you? That would be wonderful. I'll give you the car keys.
I've got a mattock to get into the chalk. I'll go now before it's dark. The old harpies are at their grub about now, away from their windows. Don't answer the phone or the door.
Good evening, Lord Torbay.
Prime Minister.
Sir Wilfrid, Home Secretary.
Good evening, Prime Minister.
Do sit, please. Well, I can hardly believe this file, but I've read it, every word. Jack Kent, a traitor? This is a Labour government. And the Labour Party doesn't have traitors, not on the scale of Kent. And I've 2 years to run with a majority of 20 overall. Not that that's your consideration, Sir Wilfrid. The head of MI5 serves us all equally, I hope.
I have served two previous governments, Prime Minister, but I think of my service as serving Queen and country.
And you serve me, Torbay.
Well, if your government falls, Prime Minister, then I shall also.
Well, that won't help. I was trying not to come to the point, that's all. Kent must be taken into custody, of course, but can we have it done most secretly?
Oh, yes. We do it quite frequently with lesser mortals.
Oh, what do we tell the public and the House? Home Secretary?
There is the Cabinet also, Prime Minister. I think we should tell them that Kent has had a sudden and total nervous breakdown. The rest of virus illness, tests are being made, nothing serious. Then, of course, it could turn serious if necessary.
Yes. Only sooner or later we'll have to admit, unless he has to be pensioned off, which means not prosecuting. Buying his silence, perhaps? Sorry, I was thinking aloud. And the girl, Sir Wilfrid?
I would like her left dangling, please. Want to see what she'll do, and what's done to her, and if she'll lead us further.
Further? I do hope not. One Kent's enough. All right. Do, please, bring Kent in.
Thank you, Prime Minister. The only snag is we don't exactly know where Kent is at the moment.
He's under about 4 feet of soil, and I've put the grass back on top, tied it up, chucked the bottles away and parked the Fiat in the scrub. Drove it up as far as it would go. You can't see it from the road or the car park. One thing did occur to me, though. What about the car hire firm there?
It's hired in a false name. We both had false documents. 3 lots, just in case we wanted to clear off in a hurry.
I still don't understand why you didn't clear off.
Jack had a thing about it. Exile in some out-of-the-way hole in some country he didn't know. He thought it would be a living death.
And he thought that taking his own life would mitigate his dishonour in some way.
Well, yes, you could put it like that.
You said he started things by being indiscreet. How was that?
Years back, the usual way. They played on his vanity, found him a beautiful girl, got him into her bed, took photos, recorded conversations.
Do they really do that?
They do. He could have come clean, but that would have meant terminating his political career, and he wouldn't do that. So he thought to play them along until he could get out. But you never can get out.
No, I can see that.
Oh.
You must be exhausted. I'll fix something to eat, and you better stay the night.
Thanks. If anyone gets to know I wasn't at home tonight, can I say I was with you?
Fine. I'll be an old friend.
If they don't ask, I'll keep you out of it.
Oh, it doesn't matter. I lead a very dull life, as I've said. I'll take you to the train in the morning.
It'll have to be early. Oh, and let the three old biddies have a good look at me. It'll establish that I was here.
Chief Inspector Gardner here. I have Inspector Bush with me, yes? All right, I'll tell him. When you get back, Bill, put your head in your governor's office.
And have it shot off. Go on, Bert.
Prudence Hart wasn't at her post on Monday, the day Kent disappeared. So what did she tell you?
Well, that she hadn't seen Kent since Saturday night, which we know was true. Monday she went to Brighton. It was stinking hot in London, so she took the chance of doing some research at Sussex. Then lay on the beach in her bikini and got back to London late. She's a tough little Cockney madam, playing a Sloane Ranger.
My people at MI5 say she's been Kent's girl for 3 years.
Yeah, at least. When I took over this job of looking after the wayward members of our governments, the previous bloke told me it was on, and that was over 3 years gone. Tell me, Bert, if you can, had you anything on Kent?
Nah, not a whisper. Of course, my chaps from the SIS could be keeping the bad news to themselves, but I don't think so. If they did, then they make my job impossible when it comes to Kent.
I don't like the smell of it, though.
Smell? Perhaps you're right. Why?
The detective constable who was mining him is positive Kent meant to give him the slip. He told all and sundry he was seeing the Home Secretary, which was unlikely, and he never said why. He went down the corridor to the HS's offices, but never reached them. There's a side door in that corridor. Looks like a panel, not a door. But it opens onto the street behind the building.
If he knew about it.
We think he did. He asked about it at one time.
I suppose the public will believe what they're told. But I wonder if anyone else will.
What about Mrs. Kent? Lady Gwen, Bert? Do you think any of our political masters have had the nous to put her in the picture?
Lady Gwen, this is Keith Cander, parliamentary reporter for the Sunday News.
What do you want, Mr. Cander?
Well, I don't want to bother Mr. Kent. I just wanted to know how he's getting on.
Getting on?
Yeah, the press office at number 10 told us he had a virus illness.
That probably explains his disappearance, then.
Disappearance? Has he disappeared, Lady Gwen? Who told you?
Asking me questions of the when did you last see your husband sort, yeah. And I got it out of him that J.K. was missing.
Can I quote you, Lady Gwen?
By all means. They didn't tell me to keep it under my hat. It serves them right. They're not very right when it comes to people, they at times.
No, Lady Gwen, they are not. Thank goodness.
Junior Defence Minister missing. Wife has no idea where he is. Flamboyant MP Kent, missing mystery.
Brogoch Henley.
My Jack Kent.
Down in the flood of Furnick.
I have a prescription from Dr. Wright.
I have scrambled, Colonel.
Have you seen the Sunday papers, Doofy?
I have. So Kent has had to come over.
No, he hasn't. He's gone into thin air. So, Doofy, will you contact the girl quickly? Ask her where our friend is.
I will do so, Colonel Havnik, as soon as possible.
Dear Prudence, thank you for your card. I will send this to the address you mentioned. I see from today's Sunday papers that your friend's disappearance is out inadvertently, I'm sure. I wonder if anyone has seen you yet. Let me know if you can. I visited the site yesterday. The local vandals have had a go at the car, the seats and tyres and some of the engine. I can't think how they knew it was in the scrub, but probably they've second sight. The grave is quite undisturbed. Best of luck. Yours, Don.
Sorry to bring you in on a Sunday, Gardner.
I've read the news in the papers, Mr. Escott. They forgot to tell Lady Gwen to keep quiet, I take it.
That, certainly, but that isn't the half of it.
Do you mean he really has done a bunk, and no one knows where to?
We have no idea where he is. But we think he must have had a tip-off.
Tip-off? Are you telling me...
Please, Gardner, I was told not to tell you. We kept it to ourselves and the Prime Minister.
God save the Prime Minister. If I had been told, Escott, he would never have got away. I would have had three men in his bathroom if he went there to do it. And he's not in Moscow.
He wasn't on the Russian pitch. First hand, that is. He was being run by Havnik of the CPR.
Oh, bless my soul. That's a feather in the Colonel's cap. But he's not with Havnik.
We're sure he's not. And he's not with the Soviets. So, where is he?
I wonder. He needs finding, though. So, I'll contact Bush, and between us we'll put the great manhunt machine into action.
Get a bishop to Blessed Gardner, because find him we must.
I see, Bert. Yeah. I reckon the first thing is to look for an abandoned car near a seaport or a marina or in a lonely spot.
Yeah, fine.
If he left the country in an unorthodox way, it'd be from somewhere like that. I'll put out a request to check all abandoned cars in such places.
As the Home Secretary, a statement made on the reported disappearance of the Honourable Member for Hampton West.
I have been informed by my Honourable friends, doctors, that he was on the verge of a breakdown of the sort brought about at times by a bad virus illness. And he could be suffering from amnesia.
This is the London Library, Miss Hart. The book on the history of factory legislation, 1847 to 1883, is waiting for you here.
I'll pick it up at 3 this afternoon.
I forgot and wore my high heels and a skirt. Mm. Do you know, Doofy, they can see up my skirts from below.
Now, what is our political friend up to?
Search me. He's just cleared off, that's all.
Well, he must have told you where.
He didn't. Not a dicky bird.
Not a what?
Not a word.
Ah. When did you last see him?
Saturday. He was his usual self, half pissed.
Have the police seen you?
Of course, they had to, didn't they? And Inspector Bush dropped in.
So?
I got out of him that they know our friend's movements up to midday on the Monday. I was in Brighton on that day, so I did not see him.
Why Brighton?
Research, Doofy, Ducky. And as it was stinking hot, I took my bikini and lay on the beach.
I shall report. We shall be in touch.
I'm being followed. A bloke is outside and my phone is bugged. Play it carefully, will you? Please.
When did we not? I will leave first.
There goes the original invisible man.
Brighton Police, yes. Sergeant Watkins, traffic police at your service. Oh, yes. A vandalised Fiat, A602NYP. Where is it? Stuck in the scrub off the B212, a car park on the bend of the road. Got you. Thank you, sir. I'll send two of my eager young constables to have a look at it. Constables, turning and wail if they're alive.
I feel half dead, Sarge. I think turning's passed over already.
I'm only a bit passed over, Sarge. The rest of me, sir.
Here you are. Read it, remember it, and eat the paper.
In the scrub, car park B121.
Oh, dear.
No, 212. That's miles from anywhere. And a steep hill.
You've read the urgent on abandoned cars.
Oh, yes. Is this abandoned, Sarge?
Vandalised, too. So go and have a look. See if there's anything suspicious in the immediate area. Play at being detectives.
Are we going any higher?
If we can get up higher, we can see all around the car.
What's left of it? A two-year-old job torn apart. Who did that? What sort of vandals?
The best. All right. Stop here. Give us the glasses.
Yeah.
Tell. Hello? There's a bloke having a close look at the remains.
So I see. What's he like?
Tall, Long face, dark hair. Now he's looking at the trees.
The ones we saw had crosses on them?
The same. He's following them up. Smiling to himself.
He probably came by car. I'll nip back to the car park, and if he has a car, we can get his number.
Yeah, good thinking, Carruthers. I've seen this cove before. I'm sure he's local. Now he's stopped. Gone into a hollow. Oh, turning's gone. Talking to myself.
Come and sit down, Bert.
Thanks. Well, you look pleased with yourself. Positively bushy-tailed.
The pun has been used before. I think I'm onto something.
I wish I was. You seen the express this morning? Mr. Chapman Pincher?
Pincher? No, what's he up to?
Listen, the headline, Was Jack Kent Under Surveillance by MI5? And a whacking big question mark. Mostly it's innuendo, although one or two parliamentarians have been gossiping when they'd be safer quiet. But he does go on to say this. Where are we? Yes. Circles in Budapest and Sofia, where Kent was a frequent visitor for many years, have disclaimed rumours that the MP had contact with one of their intelligence agencies. So, now we all know.
I wonder where the hell that came from.
A certain low fellow called Havnick, I'm sure. It's called putting the cat among the pigeons.
Chance in his arm, isn't he?
It's a game of chance, Bill. I think Havnick is trying to suss out if we're sitting on Kent and bluffing the rest. What are you on to?
We found a car on the downs above Brighton. A Fiat, which was hired for the Monday Kent Vanished in London by a young woman with some very good false documents. Her description is not unlike that of Miss Hart, although she was wearing dark glasses and a sort of floppy hat.
It would fit. The downs, in a car park?
No, been driven into the scrub so it couldn't be seen from the road. It's been completely vandalised, by the way. One other thing. The coppers who were sent to the site went up to the downs so they could have a good gander, and they noticed a man inspecting the car and then climbing up to a hollow, following a line of crosses marked on the trees. He could be a big boy scout, I know, but he had a car. Turns out to be a Donald James Riddle of Brighton. You know, we've nothing on him. Here's his address.
Thanks. The Brighton connection. I'll have him checked. The Express also have a picture of our Prudence. There you are.
Miss Prudence Hart, secretary and companion to the missing MP.
Secretary and companion to the missing MP.
Oh, that's her all right, Mrs. Buttercush.
Yeah, that's her all right, Mrs. Offcutt.
Well, is her? No mistaking it, Mrs. Trigger. It said in the paper that they think she was under surveillance, like old Kent.
What's surveillance mean when it's at home?
She is suspected.
Companion is what they call her.
No, it means she was his fancy woman, Mrs. Offcutt. Oh, yes. Now he's gone and done a bunk. So what was she doing next door, Bill?
Yes, what was she? Someone ought to know she was there.
The police should.
If we go to the old police station, they'll ask us questions.
They'll put words into our mouths.
We should write them an anonymous letter, you know. Not from anyone.
Oh, like those poison pen ones.
Yeah, but not wicked. Helpful. Yeah. To help the police.
Yeah. Oh, I'll go and get some paper. Alfred of Wool's fed for writing his complaints to the bowling club and the pool's paper.
Oh.
And we must wipe the paper clean of our fingerprints.
What shall we put? That she was with him next door inside on the day that MP did his bunk, as they say in the papers.
Here's Alf's pad. It was a Monday she was there. I'd swear to a judge it was. We must put that in the letter.
It'll give Jimmy Riddle something to think about.
Oh, it'll take that silly smile off his face, it will.
Well, yeah. Here, we'll each write a bit of the letter. I'll start off.
This is to let you know, because you would want to know, the handwriting changes here.
Oh, does it?
That the girl in the papers, in the case of the missing MP, change of writing, Prudence Hart, was with Mr. Riddle of Sulkley Street here, Brighton, on Monday, no, they seem to have written a word each, night, 3 Mondays ago, and she left on Tuesday morning, driven by Mr. Riddle.
Ah.
It's signed three people doing their duty, and it was sent to the top policeman at Brighton.
Mr. Riddle has nosy neighbours, poor devil. Can I have a look, Bill?
Yeah. Seems authentic enough, Bert. Ties Riddle to Prudence and to the hired car.
Yeah. Hart drives Kent to a remote spot on the Downs. Now, Riddle must have picked her up from there because she abandoned the car. So, where went Kent?
And who put the crosses on the trees? We'd better put a general watch on Riddle, if the cop who had a good look at him can pick him out. I wonder where Riddle will lead us.
Oh, if that's another reporter, I'll shoot the bastard. Oh, good gracious, an old Harry. You, Riddle, come in.
Thanks. I looked you up in the phone book.
There's an awful lot of Harts in the book, and I'm down as IP. Come and sit down.
I guessed it was your address. It seemed right somehow.
More than you know, Donald Riddle. I grew up in a working-class tower block slum half a mile away. This was known as the posh end.
I wanted to talk to you. I've been following things in the paper, and it all seems to be getting confused.
It is. And you ought not to have come here.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to inconvenience you.
You don't inconvenience me, Donald. I'm glad to see you. But you've blown your anonymity. I'm being watched by the special branch. Everyone who comes here gets their photo taken as they turn into the entrance.
It'll prove you know me and could have stayed that night.
I think I've got away with saying I came back here late. But the point is they'll try to find out who you are and what you came here for.
Why not say I was selling something? Life insurance?
I wish it was all as simple as you think it is. Don't you see they have a resistance to believing me? Never mind. What's your news?
What was left of the car has been removed.
Mm-hmm. That means the car hire firm will know I had false papers.
I bet they knew that earlier.
Now they'll tell the fuzz. Perhaps it was the fuzz who removed it.
There's no way they can trace it to you.
No. Coppers have suspicious minds, Donald. All right, I wore dark shades and that funny hat. But I was still my shape and size. And that lad in the office was having a good deco at that.
Do the police think you know where Kent is?
Too bloody sure they do. And now they have a lady driver and an abandoned car. Oh, I should have got you to drive that Fiat over Beachy Head or somewhere. It's too near poor Jack's last resting place.
Have you thought of telling the special branch people the truth?
Mm-hmm, I have. But it would be admitting an involvement, and this government is hot on people who do what I did. I'd get 10 years, Jack thought. Remember, I'm a civil servant, and I've signed that stupid Official Secrets Act paper.
I think you're wrong, Prudence. They don't want you in prison. I don't think they even want to find Kent. I think the Prime Minister wants the whole thing to blow over, to be an unsolved mystery, which would get them out of the pickle they're in.
This is a pretty pickle, Torbay.
It is indeed, Prime Minister.
And Sir Wilfrid, the more I read of this frightful file, the less I understand.
I thought to put all the possibilities down, but what adds up is very little. We have no sign of where Kent is.
That girl Hart must surely know.
I have people who'd get the truth out of her.
It would serve her right, you know.
There has been another angle, a new development, perhaps.
What's that, Wilfrid?
This character called Riddle, he's in the report. He visited Miss Hart last night, stayed half an hour.
Oh.
So he does tie up with her, as the anonymous letter claims.
Quite. He's really the nigger in the woodpile, isn't he? Although I meant to put things differently in public.
He may well lead us further. So let me leave Hart loose for a while, Prime Minister.
Of course. But you will see to it that she's not hurt, I think is the word, by Havnick's thugs, won't you?
This London library is unfamiliar to me, Miss Hart.
Where's my friend Doofy? And who the hell are you?
Do please call me Klim. We thought Doofy had been here too often.
Did you phone me?
Of course, but I used a different voice.
You sounded like Colonel Bloodnock.
I do not know him. But things are now urgent. We want to know what has happened to our friend, and we are now serious.
Serious? So am I, Clem.
Stop, woman. I was looking for fiction. This seems to be biography.
Go to the end. To your right are some narrow stairs up to fiction.
Narrow? Oh, dear, at my size, I have to go sideways between the books. Still, I'll give it a try. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Serious, you said?
We are losing our patience. You must tell us what you know. If you don't, we shall have to take steps. Take you away.
You wouldn't dare. They watch me day and night.
We should have to take the risk. You must know the truth about our friend, and you must tell us.
I don't like you, Clem. I'll tell you. He's dead.
And who killed him?
I don't know. Perhaps he killed himself.
And perhaps he is not dead at all.
Yes, he is dead. I know that for sure.
How did he die? Who killed him?
I don't know. What does it matter? Just take my word for it that he's dead. Now I must go.
If you will not help us, then you are better dead also. You see this pen? If I press the end, a long, sharp point comes out like this. This is tipped with a poison that will kill you in 10 minutes. There is no cure, no antidote. Now, tell me how he died.
I drove him from London to a deserted part of the Sussex Downs, above Brighton. He said he would kill himself there.
Why should he do that?
He was found out. He didn't want to go to prison.
I think you are lying. If he was found out, then he'd ask us to take him out. Tell me the truth.
I was, only you interrupted. Please put that spike away. Thank you. He told me he was going to kill himself there. But when we were somewhere up the hill, a man appeared. And Jack said this man was going to get him out. And if he hadn't been there, Jack would have shot himself. The man took Jack away. I heard a shot. I went over and saw Jack was dead. I thought the man would kill me. But he took me back to his house in Brighton. He tied me up there. Said he was going back to bury Jack's body. He made me sleep with him that night. Took me to the London train in the morning.
Is this the man who came to see you at your apartment the other day?
Yes, it was. He wanted to know who had questioned me.
You haven't told the police anything of this?
Of course not. They're still looking for Jack, aren't they? I say I know nothing. I don't want to be involved. I thought the man was working for you anyway. I mean, at the time, when he shot Jack.
And if he was working for the British, why bury the body? Why not kill you also? Two birds with one stone, as you say.
I don't know. I don't understand either. But that's the truth.
Did this man have a name?
I heard a neighbor call him Mr. Riddle. I think it was Riddle.
Riddle? It means a puzzle, yes? Where was this house?
I never saw the name of the street. It was number 7, a narrow street on a steep hill.
It is a very strange story. I do not think you would invent such a story. We shall have to find out about Mr. Riddle. Now you may go, Miss Hart.
Good morning, Mr. Gardner. Take a pew.
Morning, Escott. Well, you seem cheerful. I'm sorry to see.
I am cheerful, because I have read your report on Donald James Riddle, and I agree with my section head for once.
That Riddle is an invention, a red herring.
That Riddle is the perfect sleeper.
Hey, dear God.
The CPR have had him in position for 20 years. The only times he left England were for holidays in Yugoslavia and Bulgaria, once every year.
Well, you've gone bonkers. So has your section head, a sleeping assassin.
Precisely. Although we've no idea if he hasn't been used on occasions. Remember the journalist Johnny, who was doubling for us last year, found shot in his flat?
Yes, I remember, but it seemed he shot himself.
Of course. Oh, come on, Gardner. You suggest yourself that Hart drove Kent to the Downs where we found the car. You suggest also that Kent met his end there. You need a killer. You have Riddle on the doorstep.
We shall now have to ask Hart some more questions.
We shall. Meanwhile, keep the surveillance going on Riddle.
Well, we'll have to break into his place to bug it.
I don't want to know that.
Did you know that Inspector Bush has a hunch about where the body is? He's going digging tomorrow.
It would have to rain. A nice day out in the country, you said, Inspector Bush.
Perfect weather, Constable Bates, for digging up dead bodies. Ah, Constable Menzies and his bitch, Sally. If Sally does her job, we'll find a dead man, believe me.
You know the area, Mr. Bush. You'll
cross it. I'm playing things by ear a bit, but there's some crosses on what they have for trees up here. The crosses lead to a small hollow, which I've marked, and I swear that hollow's been dug over recently. So, up we go, my lads.
Oh, hello, Chief Inspector. Come in. Sorry about the lack of carpet.
Afternoon, Lenning. So, this is the desirable property. How's that smell of not being lived in?
It's been empty for a couple of years, Gov. Owner abroad. Shame, really. I gave the agent a couple of quid, so to speak, and here we are. Riddle's place backs onto this, three houses up. I've fixed a lookout upstairs in the listening post.
Oh, I'll come up and have a look. Have you got someone in front?
Yes, on the corner, in the telecom hut. We can't stay there forever.
Oh, I don't know. Some do. Who pays Riddle calls?
Tall, thin girl lives two streets away. No one else. Let's go up.
All right.
I've tricked out the window so we can't be seen. That's PC Morris with the camera and things, Gov.
Ah, got a good view.
Yes, sir. We can see right into the back of the house. Not that there's much to see. He leads such a quiet sort of life, it's a wonder he stays awake.
Yeah, he certainly doesn't do any gardening. Is there a path behind it?
A narrow one, sir. Just a strip of land, really. There's no gates in the garden fences. Each end of the path comes up against a brick wall.
And what about bugging the place, Lenning?
Two mics are in his house, Gov.
Did you break in?
I didn't have to. I was outside his place with a PC, playing at surveying the street, when he comes out. Strikes up a conversation.
Ah.
Very friendly he was. So I took my chance and asked if we could use his loo. Be my guest, he said. Showed us where it was and left us to piddle in peace.
Very nice.
So I put one in the front room behind a photo, and the PC got one on the upstairs landing, behind a picture of Salome, he said.
And what have you heard?
A phone call to a plumber, the thin girl complaining that he doesn't take her anywhere, Riddle knocking a nail in with a hammer, presumably, and missing the nail. Very exciting, Gov.
Just what you'd expect from a sleeping assassin. Perhaps Inspector Bush has more exciting news. I'm meeting him in a pub in half an hour.
Yourself, Bert.
And to you, Bill. Well, we've got him under close surveillance. I just hope my team doesn't die of boredom. I noticed, by the way, that he had a radio ham mast on his roof.
Really? So he's a radio ham? Isn't that a bit obvious?
Everything about Riddle is obvious. And everybody sees it as mysterious.
I think I have the remains of Kent in the morgue.
Oh. Congratulations. Where was he?
Where I thought, in the hollow, in a deep grave. Someone had put a gun in his mouth, I'd say.
Oh, I was hoping he'd killed himself.
Prudence Hart could have killed him. Riddle dug the grave. The digging was tough. Chalk and flint.
So, you have a murder on your hands. I wonder what Whitehall will do about that.
Are they sure it's Kent's body, Home Secretary?
I'm quite sure, Prime Minister. The dental records tally. And he had some outstanding birthmarks.
Did he really? Well, before we release the news, we need to come up with a good story. And I must tell Lady Gwen that he's dead.
I don't think Lady Gwen will take it badly, Prime Minister.
Oh, you have quite a callous streak in you, Reggie.
More matter of fact than callous, Prime Minister, my wife tells me. Oh. You've seen the MI5 report on Riddle, I take it.
I have indeed.
He seems sold on this odd chap.
And why not, pray?
I read his life story last night. God, it was boring. It made me wonder if, in fact, we'd knocked Kent off ourselves and Riddle was a useful red herring.
You can't be serious.
I was, but I won't continue to be. But once we've come clean on Kent being dead, do you want someone charged with his murder?
If the police wish to charge someone, then they must.
Oh, of course. But it could be a tricky business. Charge Riddle a heart and you open the can of worms Jack Kent kept in his closet.
I'll leave it to you to see the police don't rush in, Reggie.
Thank you, Prime Minister. I'm sure we'll get justice done by some means or other.
Coming up to midnight. I'd say Master Riddle shacked up with his lady friend for the night and won't be home till the morning.
Never leave a warm bed for a cold one, Sergeant Lenny.
There's an old Chinese proverb, never be sure of anything. Here he comes back, and in a hurry.
Straight up the stairs.
just made it. Come on, come on. Warm up, warm up.
Warm up what?
What the hell's that? Radio oscillations. He's making a contact. Listen,
I'm recording, Sergeant.
Brighton Albion here. Brighton Albion here on 423. 423. Are you there, Honolulu? Beatrice. Honolulu.
Honolulu? Holy Moses.
Beatrice Honolulu here. How are you? Did you turn girl over and do it again, as in song?
No. Left a sleeping bitch to lie. Tomorrow will be another day.
Like Macbeth, yes? What's your news of dead Chappie?
They have dug him up. The police are there examining things.
You do there? They not see you?
Oh, they didn't see.
Well, I'll be damned. Messages in the clear. Ruddy cheek.
They didn't see me. And if they did, it wouldn't matter. No one knows I exist except the girl. I'm the joker in the pack.
So you know about Riddle, the joker in the pack, do you, Mr. Bush?
Both Mr. Gardner and I do. He led us to the grave, Miss Hart.
Since Kent's death, Miss Hart, have the CPR been in touch?
CPR? I don't understand you, Mr. Gardner.
Oh, come on. They're the intelligence service Kent was working for, the people you passed things on to.
I told you. I thought they were his political contacts, the sort of people, journalists, Labour Party hacks, TUC blokes, he used as sources, and non-attributable spreaders of Jack's words.
Whom you still see? This photo was taken of a known CPR agent, leaving the London Library a few minutes after you left last week.
Was that a coincidence, Miss Hart? Was it? Why not tell the truth for a change?
All right. I need protection anyway. That agent was quite prepared to kill me. He had a poison pen. I know that sounds funny.
No, I know what you mean. What did he want to know?
Who killed Jack and how it happened.
And did you tell him?
Yes. He had that bloody spike an inch from my neck.
So tell us. We have neither poison nor pistol. Who killed Kent and how did it happen?
Don't you know? I thought you'd have had it worked out. I thought anyway that Riddle was your man, did your dirty work.
You saying that Riddle killed Kent?
Yes, of course.
How did he kill him?
Jack was to meet a man on the Downs who was going to get him out by sea from the marina. I drove Jack to the meeting place. Riddle appeared. He took Jack out of sight. I heard a shot. Then he buried the body, moved the car into the scrub. He took me back to his house. I thought he was CPR. I thought he'd kill me. But he said nothing would happen if I kept quiet. If they, that's you, found out that I drove Jack down, and if his body was found, I was to say it was suicide. Jack and I dug the grave beforehand, and he, Riddle, was just a friend who helped out. I know it sounds confused, but I was sure Riddle was CPR. Then, I was sure he was with you.
No, I don't find it confused, Miss Hart. I find it quite mad, balmy, dotty. But let's consider who would want Kent dead, beside himself. For he must have hated himself, don't you think?
I think he did. I think he contemplated suicide.
Well, we didn't want him dead, nor did Havnick. If the CIA knew what he was up to, they might have thought him better dead than red. Likewise the KGB, just to keep Havnick in his place.
I suppose Riddle could have been CIA.
Or he's just a pal of yours and you killed Kent because of where he led you. You arranged for Riddle to meet you and bury the body.
I loved Jack. How could I kill him?
I noticed that wasn't a question. Now, we think your life is in danger. So you'd better be put in a safe place until things look clearer. We'll look after your flat and your phone and your bills. And tell your boss.
Yes, I'm better alive than dead at present, aren't I?
I've got a couple of miners outside. We'll take you home. So you can pack. Then they'll take you to our safe place. Here she is, my loves.
Right, Jen. Come along, Miss Hart.
Well, it's one way of being under arrest, isn't it? Off we go, chaps.
It was almost as if she was making things up as she went along.
I'm bloody sure it wasn't the whole truth.
Do we pick Riddle, the sleeping assassin, up?
I'll have to ask my gent in Curzon Street that. and give him time to digest and then regurgitate the fact that Riddle isn't what they thought he was. Oh, and by the way, Riddle has a radio ham link with a girl in Honolulu, to whom he openly tells what's going on in this game. Ooh. And no one's going to believe that. Don't even know if I do.
These Italian restaurants are so noisy.
But you said, Colonel, a busy restaurant.
There is busy and busy. So, Doofy, what have you and Clem found?
An empty grave, Colonel. The forensic police have now left it.
This is where the girl said, on the dunes?
On the downs. The little hills, as she said.
So, they had him killed.
Yeah, but who did, Colonel? Clem and I are puzzled. You see, we found this man, Riddle, large, ordinary man who lives by himself, where he has lived for 20 years.
So what? Do you want him to look like James Bond?
No, Colonel. But he is under surveillance by the British.
Protection, not surveillance.
Colonel, they observe him from an empty house and a street shelter. They follow him by car and on foot, and they have him bugged. We found the frequency. And also, he has a tall radio mast on his roof. The police who observe him use the public house quite near. So we went there and listened. They find him a joke. They say he never does anything that is not boring, except speaking by radio to a girl in Honolulu and speaking openly.
Openly? About Kent's death?
So it would seem.
Honolulu is a CIA sphere of operation. Does Riddle seem to know he's being watched?
We thought not.
The girl heart has been removed from the scene to a safe place, I'm sure. Riddle may not like that.
He would perhaps come with us to see her. If we can speak to him. We could be tourists asking him the way to somewhere. American tourists, I think.
Say, could you help us understand this British map?
Yes, of course. Where do you want to go to?
Keep looking at the map. We are American friends.
Yes, you're friendly people.
You're being followed, Riddle, and your house is bugged.
How do you know? I mean,
keep looking at the map. Point a direction. They know you killed a politician, Kent.
I did not. All I did was bury him. He killed himself.
And you put the gun in his hand.
I took the gun from the girl's hand. What is this?
The girl is with us. She asks to see you. Will you come to her?
I'd like to see her and get things clear. Shall I get in the car?
No, not now. I told you, you are being followed. Tonight at dark. You must say where.
Where? I know. Hanover Street. 20 yards down from my street. I'll come over the brick wall. There's a sort of path behind my back garden. It leads to the brick wall, 6 feet high, and there's a sort of...
I suppose perhaps as we're in number 10, I should call you Prime Minister, not Mavis.
Of course not, Gwen. This is a girls' get-together powwow.
Powwow? If it's about Jack, it's more likely to be a wow than a powwow.
No, dear Gwen... Not a wow. You see, we found his body. He'd been dead for some time.
Ah. Poor Jack. Silly Jack. Randy Jack. Dead Jack. That's his history. Thank you for telling me. How did it happen?
Well... He was shot.
By his own hand? By whom?
We just don't know. Security services are trying to find out, and the police, of course. So, Gwen, dear, would you keep it all under your hat?
If you say so, I must. But don't keep me out of my widow's weeds too long, will you? I have plans to be a merry, wicked widow. And someone to be it with. Now, you did promise me a drink.
I have no name, Riddle. You can call me Colonel. That will do.
The Nameless Colonel.
Anyway, you're not CIA, and you haven't got Miss Hart with you, so I don't see any point in my remaining here, wherever this place is.
You are nowhere, Riddle. You have vanished in a puff of smoke.
Are all secret agencies run by madmen like you?
I am not offended. I am part of what Kipling called the Great Game. We who run this game may seem mad to the world outside, but without us, where would you be?
I would be in Brighton, leading my usual dull life. And I'd like to go back to it as fast as I can.
Dull life, is that so? Except when you go out and shoot someone now and again.
I do not shoot people. I have told you the truth.
Which does not match up in any way with what Hart told us. And why should she tell us an untruth, Riddle?
How the hell should... Oh. Perhaps to save her own skin. For you could have seen to it that Kent's death was her doing.
Not a bad idea. But I don't see how. We haven't the ear of Scotland Yard, my friend.
And she may have named me to put you off the scent, give her time to hide away.
And then?
Well, it's obvious, isn't it? She was sure that once you found out who I was, you wouldn't for a moment believe her story, so I would be left alone.
Would she be so clever? Perhaps. For how many would believe you are a CIA-trained assassin? No one. But I know better. Oh,
dear God, you know better.
You may well despair, my friend. I tell you this. The better the secret agent, the less real he should seem, one way or the other. Was not Guy Burgess unreal? All were shouting, I am a Soviet agent. Or take Professor Blunt, such a respectable art historian. How could he be a real agent? So it is. You are a most unreal secret agent. Ergo, you are the perfect agent.
I give up. I can't argue on your potty logic. Give me a day or so and I'll write you a report.
Riddle's flown all right, Mr. Gardner. And he left his back door open.
So I see. Let's go in. The neighbours are falling out of their windows with curiosity.
Oh, this is the kitchen, sir.
Neat and tidy, isn't it? He even washed up his supper things. So, he was seen giving directions to a man in a car with an American number plate.
Yeah, false one, sir. We couldn't get near enough for a proper look at him. One thing, though, Riddle seemed about to get into the car at one moment.
The odd behaviour of Master Riddle, as usual. I wonder what he'll do next. That is, if we ever see him again. I better nose around. I never like doing this. No, nothing there. The cupboard is bare. No, you know, I've done it hundreds of times, but I still feel embarrassed. Ugh. His old girlfriend never did his ironing, for sure. That's a fine old kitchen table. Now, what does one keep in kitchen table drawers?
Well, my old man used to keep his football pools and forecasts.
Riddle keeps a revolver there.
Holy smoke, it's a brand new 38.
Yeah. Five bullets in the chamber. No doubt the missing one will be the shell Inspector Bush has.
Why the hell did he leave it behind, sir?
Well, I said I wonder what he'll do next, didn't I? Perhaps he forgot it was there. Perhaps he wanted us to find it once he'd left. Perhaps it was his idea of a joke, I don't know.
It doesn't make sense to me, sir.
No, I agree, Lenning. That's what worries me. Look, have the house properly done over before we pack up. Mm. And leave the radio equipment where it is. We may try and use it.
Right, sir.
I'll take the gun back to London with me.
Look out for the three old horrors when you get in the street, sir. They're real nosy.
I saw them on my way in.
What have you done, eh?
Where's he gone after them?
Have you arrested him?
I can't say, ladies. But what I will say is that you had a very rum neighbour.
Oh, rum? Well, it was peculiar.
Always had a daft smile and the things he said.
He funny eyes and a lopsided walk.
But you put the finger on him, all right.
Hello, Gardner. Come in.
Thank you, Mr. Escott, sir. You don't seem exactly happy to see me.
There's only one man I'd be happy to see. Riddle. And I'd kick his ass for him.
Ah, one of his neighbours said he had a lopsided walk.
I knew it. That's one of the hallmarks of the lunatic criminal type. Good Lord, you've got a gun.
Riddle's. He left it in his kitchen drawer, loaded, one bullet missing.
I don't believe this. A CIA hitman leaves the evidence behind... In a kitchen drawer with the knives and forks.
Tin openers, tubs of pencils, jar lids. Oh, and the remains of a black suspender belt. And he left his house very tidy. Bed made, washing up done, gas turned off.
A black suspender belt. I think we better keep quiet about that. The CIA here, who, as you know, speak with forked tongues, say they've never heard of him. They also claim not to know that Kent was being naughty.
Well, they disown Riddle as a matter of course.
I wish we could.
But I can't believe someone didn't give them a nudge on Kent. He did visit the Pentagon a few months back.
That's what we pointed out. They turned a shade paler. Anyhow, Gardner, the whole thing is now at cabinet level. It'll probably start an Anglo-USA war.
The war that Kent began.
They're going to announce his death shortly.
Oh, decent of them. How did he die?
You won't believe this. Taking a healthy walk on the Sussex Downs when he was attacked by a gang of muggers, banged on the head until dead, and his body lay undiscovered until about the other day.
A roving band of muggers? I hope someone makes them real. I bet it'll cause the Colonel some amusement.
You see this, Comrade Riddle, in the newspaper here?
Minister killed for his wallet? Mm-hmm. Body undiscovered for weeks. An inquiry launched into gangs on Sussex Downs. I don't mention prudence, thank heavens.
And this is what you call the freedom of the press, I think. So, that is the end of Kent.
I wish it was.
Come, do not be so fatalistic. I have read your report. It is exceptional. I understand it very well. Let me take you through it.
Oh, thank you. I tried to make things clear.
Oh, you have. You have. You say there are people in British public life, such as business tycoons, bankers, judges, retired service chiefs, newspaper proprietors, and so on, who are very unhappy with the conduct of the Labour government and its militant left-wing supporters. Mm-hmm. Yes?
I was really putting it in a nutshell.
A nutshell? Oh, of course. Now, you say that these top people against the capitalist Labour government have formed a secret brotherhood, not unlike the Mafia, but political. To strike against this government. They call it the flag.
You must understand, they are very patriotic.
Mm-hmm. They wave the red, white, and blue with great vigor. Mm-hmm. You say the flag have decided to eliminate their enemies. As they put it, those who put politics before patriotism. You quote Deeds done. Mm-hmm. The MP, known as the Red Farmer, a heart attack in the Commons bar. Poison brandy. Mm-hmm. A left-wing journalist, Banks? I've met Banks. Oh. A car crash. The car was fixed. Mm-hmm. And you yourself pushed a well-known GLC lady councillor, a Marxist, under a train at the Belsize Park Station. I remember reading of her fall. I had met her also. I was beginning to wonder. Now I'm relieved. You say the flag has been funded by the CIA for 3 years? A newspaper owner fixed this with the American president. That I can well believe. You were recruited by your late boss, now dead, a Mr. Bosch, as a go-between. And then trained to kill by the CIA.
Mr. Bosch of Flood, White, and Bosch. They make articles of porcelain.
Now, Riddle, understand this. The CIA and the CPR have a common cause for different ends.
Oh.
We both wish to destabilize the capitalist Labour government. Uh-huh. We and the CIA are more at home with the capitalist right-wing conservative government. For with such a government, we know where we are. The divisions are fixed. Life continues on an even keel and money passes hands. But with this Labour government, things are all over the place. They're always trying to interfere with our socialist principles. And they stir up our dissidents like stink. And go on about workers' rights and free trade unions. Until we wish them in a far-off gulag. Do you follow me, Riddle?
Oh, yes. Although what you say comes as a bit of a surprise.
I think you see life in a very simple fashion, my friend.
Yes, I've always found that way the easiest way, until recently.
Then you describe how Kent was killed. Well, that for us was sad, but on the other hand, he was blown, as they say, so we should have had to kill him ourselves, or take him to our beautiful country, to die a slow, beautiful death of drink and women and boredom. So, Kent had ceased to matter.
Oh, well, I've done you a favor.
And now you must do me another. Now you must be prepared to work for us also.
I see. Stay with the flag, but join you also.
That is the plan?
And pass on what I know about the flag and the CIA to you.
Everything you get to know.
So the form is, I go back home and carry on as before and let you know all I can find out.
Correct. Also, you must keep mum, as you say. Nothing to be said about the CPR or about me. If you do, we shall have to kill you.
Well, it's very honest of you.
And of course, if you double-cross us, we shall also kill you.
I know where I am, at least. One thing, when I get back home, what shall I say if the police come after me about Kent?
Then you must seek the protection of your friends in the CIA and the flag. But I think you will be left alone. They do not want to dig up Kent's bones. And I think it will be as well if you stay with us for a few weeks, so MI5 will feel sure you've gone for good. We will give you a holiday.
Where would that be?
We have a small estate in Scotland. It is most peaceful.
Scotland? Well, all right. Something worries me, Colonel, about Miss Hart. Did she let the cat out of the bag?
How much cat, we don't know. But she tells too many tales, perhaps.
She was in a bit of a pickle, you know.
Between two stools. Well, she should put her pretty bottom on one only.
Escort here, Gardner. No, I don't want the remains of a black suspender belt. Listen, I've orders to wrap up our case. Kent is to be cremated, and his ashes will no doubt be placed in the loo at number 10. Perhaps they will. It means letting Miss Hart out of care.
Yes, but she isn't safe.
Safe. She'll be safe, all right.
Well, how will you get her there?
Her travel? Oh, I see. We'll take her back and forth for a few weeks. She ought to be safe in the Mother of Parliament's library. I hope that was a joke.
You wanted to see me? Who are you?
I'm Molly Carr, Miss Hart. I'm the member for Littlehampton.
Yes, Mrs. Carr. How can I help you?
I'm told you'll know exactly where the reports on workers' living conditions in the Sheffield area in 1837 are. The ones that Disraeli used when writing his novel Sybil.
Yes, I know where they are. But I'm not the only one who does. They are in the index.
Probably it was to save someone looking it up.
I'm sure. I'll show you. They're along here, on one of the top shelves. Oh, will you go up the ladder for me, please? I'm terrible about even the lowest height. I'd get them for you anyway. Here we are, and the ladder's handy. Do you want help? No, it's all right. I'm used to the thing. It's not heavy. I'll go up and get the volumes. There are two of them, I think. Oh, what's the matter? Sort of prick in my calf muscle. The right one. Oh,
did you pull a small muscle, do you think, going up?
Oh, I can't think what else it was. Seems a bit sore. Here are the two reports, Mrs. Carr.
Mrs. Carr, whoever she was, went off with her reports.
Yeah.
Hart went back to her desk. She told the assistant librarian that she must have torn a muscle in her calf and it felt sore. Now, the next thing was, he found her what he thought was asleep at her desk, her head on her hands. She was in a deep coma, Bill, and died about an hour later.
They got her to hospital, I take it?
They did. They tried resuscitation, used every method they had, but the heart refused to restart.
Mm. Have you heard the autopsy report?
No, not yet. She was poisoned, though. They found a pin's head break in her skin on the right calf muscle.
I'll ask the obvious question, though. Who was at the bottom of that ladder when she thought she pulled a muscle?
A woman purporting to be Mrs. Molly Carr, MP, a rather new member of the Commons. She came in on a by-election a month back, so she wasn't known by sight.
You say purporting to be? Do you know where the real Mrs. Carr was?
She says she was in Sussex at her constituency.
Yeah, I'll check on it. Thought this bloody case was shutting away.
I don't believe this, Reggie.
No, Prime Minister. It is hard to accept.
We now have assassins pretending to be members of Parliament wandering around the building pricking girls' legs.
Yes. Yeah. It is rather an advance on the usual bottom pinching our real honourable members indulge in.
I don't find that funny.
It wasn't meant to be. I wonder why they bothered to kill the poor girl.
I couldn't care less. Who killed is the important thing.
The CPR, for sure. So say MI5. I think it's high time we told the Foreign Office to expel Colonel Havnick and a couple of his merry men.
Yes, indeed. I shall see it's done.
So if they've another Jack Kent on their books...
Oh, now, for heaven's sake, Reggie, don't tempt fate. We got rid of Jack and his girlfriend, and the awful Riddle person was really the minimum of fuss. Let's start again with a clean slate.
Let us hope so, Prime Minister. Although, somehow I feel the whole damn business has never stopped.
Would you believe it, Mrs. Orfcutt?
Doubted my own eyes, Mrs. Puttock. I said it can't be, but it was. As bold as brass.
Yeah, last night, up draws a taxi. I said to Elf, hello, what's this? And out he got. Straight the front door and in.
I saw the lights go on, and there he was, leering out of the window. That nice policeman who was in charge ought to know.
Oh, Riddle may have escaped from somewhere.
Broadmoor, I wouldn't doubt. Yeah. Look, oh, he's coming out.
Good morning, Mr. Riddle, you're back.
It looks like it, don't you think?
Can we inquire where you've been?
Scotland. I went to Scotland. Some friends invited me, out of the blue. Did the police call in while I was away?
The police, Mr. Riddle?
That's right. The coppers who were keeping a watch on me.
Oh, we did see some men who could have been the force going in and out.
I thought so. You can always tell. They never close a drawer or a cupboard door. They thought I was the Bognor rapist, you know.
Oh!
A case of mistaken identity.
Oh.
They caught someone half my age and size, and anyway, I haven't been near Bognor for years. Now, I must see if my old car starts. Don't let me keep you.
Come in, Gardner. My, don't you look down in the mouth.
Yes, the past has returned to haunt me, Mr. Escott. Things discarded must be taken up. The impossible has become true. The nasty business in the woodshed is once again with us.
I say, are you having a breakdown or something?
No, but it's a good idea. Donald James Riddle is back in his Brighton house.
What do you mean, back in his house? Turned up?
Turned up like a bad penny.
Riddle? Out of the blue, just like that?
Just like that.
How has he managed to do that?
Well, the last part of his journey was by local taxi.
Where the hell's he come from?
He said Scotland.
Not abroad?
Well, not strictly speaking.
He's been sitting in Scotland. Kent's been cremated, Havnick's been kicked out, Hart's been killed, and he's been sitting in Scotland. It's horrible. Are you having me on?
Then why don't you ask me if it's all a bad dream?
I was just about to put his house into the hands of the commissioners for the lost and the loony.
He's been seen leading his normal life.
Bumping off politicians, you mean?
Well, I thought of taking Bill Bush with me and paying him a visit.
Why not? What will he say?
Well, I'll tell him what Hart told us about him. And I'll tell him that she's dead, as that's not public yet. And then, we'll see.
Prudence murdered? Dear God, that's awful. Who murdered her?
Who do you think, Mr. Riddle?
I have no idea.
Two members of a certain embassy have been asked to leave the country, as we can't charge them with murder.
There was no need to kill her. It was sheer spite.
Prudence said I killed Kent. She told you that. She told others the same story.
Others, Mr. Riddle? What others, and how do you know?
The thing is, I did not kill Kent. He shot himself. Or Prudence may have shot him. I only buried him.
And all this was arranged, I take it?
Not by me, Mr. Bush. I was the mere deus ex machina.
We found the gun which killed Kent in your kitchen. We might still be able to prove you shot him.
Prudence left the gun here. And I'm sure the politicians would not want Kent's grave reopened, so to speak. Why not believe me? Kent surely had good reason to shoot himself.
Had he? How do you know?
The people he was working for told me, for one
thing. Who were these people, Mr. Riddle?
That would be giving the game away, Mr. Gardner.
Oh, bless my soul, you're nothing but a great big mad boy scout.
And who do you work for, and in what capacity? You don't pass on secrets, you don't have any access to secrets. So does someone employ you to bury the dead? Look after girls in distress? Come on, Mr. Riddle, play the game, as you would say. Give us a clue, even if it's a small one.
I act as a sort of lookout.
And what do you look out for?
Have you ever heard of a very secret, very right-wing organisation called the Flag?
The Flag?
No, never. Have you, Bill?
No. Go on, Mr. Riddle.
The Flag was formed a couple of years ago by a group of top people. Business tycoons, retired top brass heads, retired chief policemen, that sort of person.
The idea behind it, its ideology, as they put it, was to undermine this government, discredit the left-wing militants and people like that by a smear campaign, and by putting them in false positions, that sort of thing. And if they really have something on somebody, then they go at them hard. They hounded Kent to his death. I was to bury him, which I did, only I found prudence there.
Well, well, well. Did you get paid for that sort of job?
Oh, yes. The Flag have plenty of money, and they get funds from the CIA.
The CIA? Really? Have you met these CIA types?
I may have. I met some chaps with American accents.
Oh, then they must be CIA, don't you think, Bert?
Oh, absolutely. Did these CIA contacts give you your holiday in Scotland on that nice estate you told us about?
No, I thought you knew about that.
Not an idea, Mr. Riddle. But I bet you can tell us the story.
Well, I was contacted by a chap with a phony American accent and later picked up here in a side street, given a drugged drink and woke up in a gloomy building where I was questioned at some length by a man they called the Colonel.
Describe him.
He was small, almost bald, a benign sort of face, wore half-moon glasses, looked more like Herr Professor than Herr Colonel.
And what did he want to know?
He asked about Kent and the CIA and the Flag, of course. He seemed to know a lot about all three. Then he said I must pass on stuff to him or he'd kill me. And if I double-crossed him, he would have me killed also. He suggested I laid low for a while and sent me to the house in Scotland.
Why did you go with the men who took you to the Colonel in the first place?
They said they had prudence with them, and she wanted to see me.
So how are you to get in touch with the Colonel's set-up?
By dead letter drops, which I would be told about.
Well, when you're told, I hope you'll do as instructed.
Well, they gave me quite a lot of money. And anyway, they may well try to kill me if I don't do what they want.
Yes, you'd better be careful. After all, in a sense, you've already double-crossed them by telling us what you have.
Yes. Well, in for a penny, in for a pound. Would you like me to pass on what I know about the Flag's activities to you?
It could be dangerous for you, don't you think, Bill?
Highly dangerous. But our bosses might be grateful.
I'd need paying, of course.
Oh, of course. Our masters are a mean lot, Mr. Riddle, not like the CIA or the Colonel, but I'll put your proposition to them and let you know.
I recorded him all right, Bert. I'm glad I did. If I hadn't, I don't think I'd have believed my own memory. The Flag? The CIA? I wonder he didn't throw in the KGB.
Havnik must have believed Hart's story of Riddle killing Kent, so he picked Riddle up. Well, I'm sure Riddle obliged by making out he was a CIA assassin and throwing in the Flag for a bit of local colour.
More murderous version of what he told us. Did Havnik swallow Riddle's nonsense, Bert?
Havnik was pure secret police in thought, I'm sure. Complete CPR and KGB, come to that. He'd see everything as a devious conspiracy. Hence he was a sucker for Riddle's nonsense.
I have a sneaking sort of admiration for Riddle. God knows he was lifted off the face of the earth by Havnik and grilled. Probably the more he told the truth, the less he was believed, so he thought up a story.
Well, it's not the first time such a thing has happened in the history of espionage. In fact, or fiction. Conrad wrote the first fiction many years ago.
The innocent abroad in the world of wicked double-dealers. I wonder what he'll make up to give to Havnik's successor. The weirder the better, probably.
Well, it'll give us a chance to see who the CPR are using. I suppose we'll have to keep a tail on Riddle for a while.
What about his wish to work for your masters?
I'll slide it into my report and hope they don't see it.
I call upon the Honourable Member for Chapel Norton. Can the Prime Minister assure the House that the Security Service is doing all it can to investigate the underground fascist organisation called the Flag and expose its leader?
All I can say is that the Security Service is carrying out a thorough investigation.
Order! 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 I call upon the Leader of the Opposition.
Has the Prime Minister any observation to make on the report in a well-known weekly magazine by a well-respected journalist that the organization called the Flag exists and is funded by the CIA among others?
Honorable gentlemen ought to know me better. better than to expect me to rise to such a boat.
I ask my question of the Prime Minister because I have read reports in German and French newspapers that the late member for Hampton West was murdered by a CIA assassin at the behest of the flag. And I don't know it.
I am astounded, Reggie. Astonished.
Are you Prime Minister? Why?
Why? Because I wasn't aware that the House would be so absolutely crackers about spies and spying as to believe this cock and bull story about Kent's death and the blasted flag, and as for the CIA, word fairly.
Well, you know, Prime Minister, we have only ourselves to blame.
What do you mean, pray?
Governments collectively, I mean. Ever since Philby and dear old Guy and company, we've all been scared stiff of another outbreak of traitors in high places. So we pour cold water much too liberally on any rumour and refuse to come clean when things are really dicey. Like with our Jack.
I'd like to remind you, Home Secretary, that this country is only democratically governable, if it is at all, because we don't let any Jonathan, Damien or Jeremy know half of what's going on. You don't think there's anything in this flag and CIA business, do you?
Yes and no, Prime Minister. The head of MI5 is outside waiting. Perhaps he'll bring some enlightenment.
I've always thought that his was the gospel of unenlightenment. And have him in.
Yes, Prime Minister.
Sorry to keep you, Sir Wilfred. Do come in now.
Thank you, Home Secretary.
Sit down, Sir Wilfred.
Thank you, Prime Minister.
Tell us what you know about this mythical party, the Flag.
I can tell you, Prime Minister, that the CIA are not being open with us.
Oh, not that that is unusual, but
here they're behaving with a distinct lack of reassurance.
I see. Well, I shall have a word with the President and hope